Taking at this meeting, so just FYI. We would like to respectfully acknowledge that our university and our students' union are located on Treaty 6 territory. We are grateful to be on Cree, Dene, Salto, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papa Chase Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students' Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards the decolonization of Indigenous knowledges and traditions. So speaker's business, right at the end of speaker's business, just before attendance, we'll do the oath, but I just wanted to make a few announcements beforehand. So the next meeting of Students' Council will not take place on Halloween, as far as I've heard, but I'm sure we'll hear more from the CAC chair. So the next meeting of Students' Council will take place on November 7th at Augustana, question mark? Yes, so more details will be sent out later regarding busing and transportation for that meeting, but just be aware that that meeting will be in Camrose, so as to avoid terrible, treacherous winter driving conditions. Other announcements, I hope you all exercised your right to vote in yesterday's municipal election. And other than that, welcome to the new councillors. We had two new councillors appointed. So because of that, we do have to retake the oath. So while I await, I think Mr. Yamagishi has sent me his presentation, but we'll just quickly, I'll ask you all to stand. All members of council stand. Guests, you can feel free to sit if you like. I'm a man who refuses, I'm worried. So please repeat after me. I'm not here for me.
I am not here for me.
I'm here for the people that lent me their power in exchange for a promise.
I am here for the people that lent me their power in exchange for a promise.
I will keep that promise to make decisions with their interest in mind.
I will keep that promise to make decisions with their interest in mind.
I will vote after knowing the facts, not before.
I will vote after knowing the facts, not before.
I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own.
I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own.
I will oppose ideas, not people.
I will oppose ideas, not people.
I will think before I speak, not speak just to think.
I will think before I speak, not speak just to think.
I will take the job seriously or not take the job at all.
I will take the job seriously or not take the job at all.
I will represent my fellow students' interests, not my own.
I will represent my fellow students' interests, not my own.
I am not here for me.
I am not here for me.
Please be seated. All right, so we'll quickly go into attendance, since I have that open. And then after that, we'll go into the remainder of the agenda. Now, here, President Bannister.
Present.
Vice President Scott.
Here.
Vice President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Patches.
Here.
Vice President Ushakov is here by live stream. Governor Sundari.
Here.
Councillor Lefferson. Councillor Chu.
Here.
Councillor Gitta. Councillor Hassan is here through the live stream. Councillor Piasecki.
Here.
Councillor Wilson.
Here.
Councillor Lilo is here through the live stream. Councillor Liu.
Here.
Councillor Swain. Councillor Palindat.
Here.
Councillor Howell.
Here.
Councillor Ferris.
Here.
Councillor Thibodeau.
Here.
Councillor Kanawi. Councillor Sorensen is here through the live stream. Councillor Hamid. Councillor Brophy.
Here.
Councillor Christensen. Here.
Here.
Councillor Sunday.
Here.
Councillor Brederoli.
Here.
Councillor Flamin.
Here.
Councillor Kwan.
Here.
Councillor Howie.
Yep.
Councillor DePinto.
Here.
Councillor Mahal.
Yep.
Councillor Kim.
Here.
Councillor Jones.
Here.
We have a proxy for Councillor 1.
Yeah.
Councillor Choi.
Here.
Not here, the general manager is not. Also, there are copies of the agenda for you. They are printed all off on individual sheets of paper, so you have to, like, literally go from one pile to the other and collect them all. It's just how they were printed. Other than that, I think that'll finish off speakers. Oh, Councillor Panawi is here. With that, finish off speakers' business, and we'll move on to item two, which is presentations. The health and dental presentation presented by Colty Amagishi, Program Manager for Student Care, sponsored by Vice President Ushakov and Vice President Patches. Is there any opposition to this presentation from Mr. Yamagishi? Seeing none, just before I yield the floor to him, I'll...
I've got one USB, too.
Okay.
Well, thanks everyone for having me here today. My name is Colton, as the speaker mentioned, and I'm here from Student Care, so the provider of the health and dental plan for the University of Alberta Students Union. I'll go really fast through this presentation, so feel free to stop me at any point, but I think there's about 30 slides, and I want to do it in about 15 minutes, so we're going to go turbo speed on this one. Okay. So, quick agenda, we'll go over the basics of who is Student Care, what do we do, how do we work with the Students Union, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's happening next and some claims data from last year. So who is Student Care? Student Care is a mature student startup. So we started in 1996 with just a few members of actually former student executives. So they had been working on health and dental plans in Montreal at McGill and at the University of Montreal. And they said, hey, how could we do this better? We don't feel that students are getting the best bang for the buck. We don't feel that students are getting, you know, the most power in their decision-making for how the health plans are working. So they created a new business, and since 1996, we've been expanding all across the country. And now we've got almost 800,000 students in our student network that are under the Student Care Health and Dental Plans at over 75 student associations across the country. So to think of this in scope, this is more students that are represented than even by like CASA or the CFS or any of the larger student organizations. So quite a large network now under Student Care. And we'd like to say that we're the leading provider of student health and dental plans in Canada. We're certainly the biggest and the most well-resourced. We also talk about being a leader in innovation service and technology solutions. What does this really mean? It means we're always working hard every single day to try and do better and better for students. And we're really a student-focused company. So we're privately owned. We're not a corporation. We're not thinking about profits first. We're thinking about how can we help the most students and do the best job for them every single day? Lastly, we're a consultant and broker for the SU. So what that means is two things. Number one, that we work on the health and dental plan, and we work with insurers on your behalf. So we ourselves are not an insurer, but we work with insurers like Desjardins and Sun Life, Pacific Blue Cross, to make sure that we can get insurance for students at your school. Secondly, as an administrator, that means that we work on a number of different areas, including communications, marketing, like network creation, to help the Students' Union. And I'll also mention, sorry, that I didn't really introduce myself. My name is Colton, and I'm an alumni from the University of Alberta and also from the Students' Union here at the U of A. So,
what position did you have?
I was VP Student Life and President at one point back way in the day. So I've been in this room a lot. I've spent many hours here. And it looks like things are going well, so happy to see all of you. Okay, so plan basics, I'll go over this really, really quick. We did over $4.5 million in claims paid last year, which means that students were reimbursed for about that much in health and dental expenses. So lots and lots of student dollars going in and out of the plan. There's over 20,000 students enrolled in the plan, so not everyone, not the 30,000 undergrads, but about two-thirds of the students here are enrolled in the plan. And I guess by dollar value, it's one of the largest, and I like to say most popular services from the Students' Union. So a few basics. Why do we have a group health and dental plan, and why doesn't everyone just get insurance on their own? There's a few reasons for this. One of the major ones is that there is a lot of savings that come through economies of scale. So if you apply for insurance as just an individual, you might look to be paying about 3 times to 5 times the price that you pay for the undergraduate health and dental plan here at the U of A. A few other reasons is we do not discriminate by gender or any other means. So say if a student comes here with an illness that requires really expensive prescription drugs, we don't charge them more for the plan than a student who is completely healthy. So the benefit of that is that it's kind of a communal effort to make sure that students in general have wellness while they're studying and have all the resources that they need to complete their studies in a healthy manner. Who is enrolled? So all students who are in full-time classes are automatically enrolled in the plan. And there are certain categories of students that will have to self-enroll in the plan, but we try and give them as much information as possible so they can do so. Lastly, how does the plan differ from provincial healthcare and from the healthcare you get from the federal government? This is meant to be complementary healthcare. So the student plan doesn't cover emergency services like doctor's visits or anything that you might need kind of from a hospital, for example. What it does cover, things like prescription drugs, dental services, paramedical practitioners, and I'll go into that a bit on the next slide. So, plan benefits. This I'll skip over because you can get it on the website, but the basic areas that we cover are healthcare, dental care, vision care, and travel coverage. So, you can get up to 120 days of travel coverage or travel insurance per visit. If you come home for one day, then you can go again. So, technically, you could spend 3 days in Edmonton and 363 days of the year traveling covered by the Student Care Health and Dental Plan. So I went over our role a little bit already, so I'll skip over that slide. And I made this slide, member services, to be really like unseeable and confusing because it is a very confusing process that's better explained in words. So what are member services offices? It runs primarily out of Montreal, and there's a call center there, there's a communications office, we have an internal communications team, all people who are working every single day full-time to make sure that your students are getting the services that they need for their health and dental plan. We also have an office on the 6th floor of SUB, and it's open from Monday to Friday, so you can visit them as well. So communications, this is a really integral part of the student care health and dental plans, because if students don't know that they have a health and dental plan or what it can be used for, then they probably won't use it. So we try and do as much as we can to do email communications to students. We give out brochures throughout the year, we do tabling during Week of Welcome, and we do things like coming to council to talk to you today. We also do targeted email blasts to different types of students around campus, and we also make sure that we have advertisements in the Gateway and campus media, and that we show up to all sorts of events throughout the year. We also like to sponsor student events, so things that might not even be directly tied to student health, but it's a big part of our mission to ensure that students are doing what they can to make sure that their peers are healthy. So we're one of the main sponsors for the Alberta Student Leadership Summit that's happening in February, I believe. January?
January.
Gotcha, thank you. In January next year, and I'll be our second year sponsoring that event. And it's kind of fun. I actually get to sit on the steering committee for that. So lots of exciting things that are upcoming, but I think are confidential, so I can't tell you what yet. We also will do... Oh, thanks. It's okay. You can go to the next slide. So the communications team, we have 10 full-time staff who work in Montreal, and they create all the different communications materials that you'll see all across campus and in your inbox. So we'll go to the next slide here. And this is just kind of an example of all the different things that we have. So print ads, online ads. We've got our student care water bottles. So if you're really lucky, you might be able to get one of those if you ask me very nicely, and I can find one at some point. I don't know. The exact size of them, I believe. Okay, here's just a quick copy of our website. So we actually are going through a website redesign. So this is the current one. And we tried to make everything as simple to navigate as possible, so one-click navigation for most items. However, we are looking at investing in a wireframe website, so one that will kind of take you from area to area in a cohesive manner rather than clicking from page to page. And that's coming up hopefully next year. This is the Student Care mobile app. So this is the easiest way to make claims. So if students download the app, it's just called Student Care. Then you can file your claims using taking a picture of the receipt, and it will automatically send it to Desjardins Insurers. So there's a couple of other things on the app. It'll tell you about networks, coverage, and just give you the general information about the plan. Reporting and surveys. Basically, all I have to say about this is that we do surveys for you at your request. So if you want to know more about what students think about certain areas of the health and dental plan, we're always happy to provide that resource to you. And we do all of our surveys through a third-party company, and that can be done at request. So the networks. What are student care networks? These are special relationships that we have with paramedical practitioners and health providers around Edmonton and around all the areas where we have our schools. And they're networks that we have to give students additional discounts. So we'll just go to the next page here. And you probably can't read this, you definitely can't read this, but it's an example of some of the discounts that we have. One of the new ones that we got last year was a 30% discount on preventative dental services from our network dentists. So this was something that was really, really helpful for the expensive dental costs that you face in Alberta. Okay, plan usage. So these are details that came from what's called the annual claims report. And this is a report that talks about the claims experience or what students claimed in the previous year. So just some highlights. It shows you how the health claims have been broken down. About 70% of claims are through prescription drugs, so a very large majority of health claims. In second place, you'll see vision care, and then smaller pieces for paramedical practitioners or health practitioners, such as chiropractors, psychologists, etc., and a smaller portion for medical services and equipment. Dental claims, two major areas, so preventative services, that would be like cleanings and checkups. And then the separate area would be for more serious work that students will get done either on their gums or things like root canals, filling, etc. Okay, so total claims. You'll see here that last year and the year before, we've had pretty steady increases in the amounts of claims coming in. So this is somewhat alarming. You'll see 10% increase in health last year and a 5% increase in dental. But don't worry, your trustworthy Health and Dental Plan Committee and executives have taken care of this. Next page. Oh, this is per capita claims. So this is factoring in enrollment. So it drops it to 12% increase for health and 7% for dental. And then this next page, the highlights. So one thing you'll see at the bottom, how is this being addressed? The executive and the Health and Dental Plan Committee and Council last year decided to decrease the dental annual maximum from $750 to $650. So this sounds kind of sad. You're like, oh, I have less money to claim. But what this does is it helps curb the amount of maximum dental coverage being used. So those students who are claiming, say, you know, like $1,000 in dental coverage, it will cap them out earlier so that they can spend a little bit less. This isn't optimal, but it was a kind of a pathway that we chose was the best way to solve the issue of increasing claims. And the plan also, for probably the first time ever, I think, is being subsidized from what's called the Health and Dental Plan Reserve Fund. So this is a fund that each year where there's a surplus between the plan fee and plan premiums paid to the insurer, that we save up money in case there are years where there's dramatic increases in claims. And so we're finally getting to put that to use. So that's kind of a good thing, but that's what we save the money for. And then we need to make sure that we adjust things in the future so that this doesn't happen every single year, because then the reserve fund will run out. Two major areas, so health claims. We saw significant increases in vision care, physiotherapy, and chiropractor, as well as prescription drugs, and a 59% increase in psychology claims paid. This is large, but even larger considering that last year increased by over 100%. There's a couple of reasons for this. One is that students are accessing more psychology services, which is great. And second reason for this is because 2 years ago, the Students' Union decided to increase the amount of coverage for psychology and kind of mental health benefits. Dental claims, you'll see, increased by 24% per capita for non-preventative procedure claims. So the cleanings and checkups have remained about the same, but the more serious work has increased significantly. Okay, what's new? These are the exciting things that Student Care is working on for you. So the Student Care National Mental Health Survey. We conducted this last year across, I think it was like 35 different schools, and we asked a number of questions just in regards to mostly stigma and how that affects students while they're studying. It was a really interesting survey. I can send this out to council if you want to learn more about it as well, but definitely let me know if you have any questions. Some pretty cool data came through this that we're using to help steer the direction of our business. LGBTQ plus inclusion. So we're really happy and proud to say that Student Care has been selected as a member of the Pride at Work group. So it's a nonprofit organization that encourages workplaces to be inclusive and to make sure that everyone can be, you know, the best person that they are while they're at work. And this is mostly in our Montreal office, but it's a program that all of our new employees go through when they first come to Student Care. And yeah, it's been really, really good. And there's a lot of schools that are working on LGBTQ plus inclusivity initiatives. And say, for example, like the gender-based violence project I know that the Students' Union's been working on, that we're always happy to support. So if there's anything that you're working on like this, let Student Care know, and we'll see what we can do to help you out. So the Ask for Angelo campaign, this is happening right now in Montreal, and we're hoping to expand for the rest of the country. And it's a sexual violence initiative, or a preventative initiative, I guess, for sexual violence, to make sure that when students are going to bars and on-campus venues, that they are protected. So what you can do if you are a victim of sexual violence or you see something happening that you don't feel is correct, you can go to the bar and ask for an Angelo, and all of the bartenders in this program are trained to be able to take care of these students and make sure they're taken to a safe place, escorted out of the venue, or even have the police called. So it's something that Student Care is supporting, and we're really trying to push this from a media perspective and make sure that it can happen all across the country. Okay, Empower Me by Student Care. This is a new program that we're working on and is just launching in English-speaking Canada. It's been in Quebec for a little bit. But we're working with a group called Asperia to provide 24/7 accessible confidential counseling services for students. So what does this really mean? It's more so online counseling and giving students the ability to call someone whenever they have need. If you want to go to the next page. So there's a number of areas that students can talk to someone from Asperia for. So relationships, family care, pressure and stress, depression, anxiety, financial needs, educational conflict, nutrition, and addictions. So what this is really meant to do is to be a first step or a triage for students who are facing difficulties while they're in their studies. And they can also be counseled by counselors who have at least 5 years of experience and at least a master's of social work designation. So pretty cool service. It's just launching right now throughout Canada, and we're excited to see how it goes for the first year. And the second piece that we're bringing forward across Canada is our legal protection package. So this has been quite successful in Quebec, and just I think 2 months ago we had our first English-speaking client try this on for the first time. So it is a package that will give students access to legal insurance. So say if you are struggling with like an academic issue, a landlord-tenant issue, or an issue with your employer, this is insurance or coverage that will provide you access to a legal hotline. And if it goes to court, to have a lawyer represent you in court. So pretty cool service, just launching pretty much right now. And definitely let me know if you have any questions about this. There's a lot more information than I have time for. So the last part, your role. How can you work with Health and Dental Plan, and how can you help out your fellow students? So the biggest way that, in my opinion, SU Council can help out is by talking to your peers. So talk to your constituents, ask them what they think about the Health and Dental Plan, ask them what they would like to see from it, and how it can be improved to better serve their needs. I've been out of school for, I think, 4 years now, so I definitely am not in touch with what's happening on campus, and even though I go to these meetings and hear what students are saying through surveys, I'm not on the ground listening to them every single day. So please let your executive know, please let the Health and Dental Plan Committee know, please let me know if there's anything that you think we can do better, because the main goal of this fund is really to serve students and to make sure that everyone has what they need to be successful during their studies. So with that said, I wanted to try and give you as much time as questions for questions as possible. So let me know if you have any. That's all I've got.
Are there any questions? Going once, going twice. Yes, Councillor Sunday.
Thank you for your presentation. I was just wondering if you could speak to stimulant drug claims in relation to other universities in Canada. Has stimulant drug claims increased or decreased at the University of Alberta?
Great. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So it's a great question, and almost one that I feel like maybe someone might have asked you to ask. It's very educated. So we actually just had a health and dental plan committee meeting where we went over the annual claims report. And in that annual claims report, there's a drug report. I'm not sure if you have a copy of that. One thing that we're seeing at the University of Alberta in particular is a steady trend for CNS stimulants or drugs that may be used to help students focus or what are often called study drugs. These could be things like dexedrine, Alzina, a whole bunch of different types of prescription drugs. And it's a little bit interesting because at a number of our schools, especially on the West Coast, we're seeing a dramatic increase in the use of these drugs and for prescriptions being taken, to the point where that can be the number one type of drug category being claimed. I believe here it's still third or fourth on the list, and I mean, in some ways, that's a good thing because it's steady, and what we see is that there's probably not much abuse of these drugs happening, and that students are probably using them for the right reasons. It's a little bit interesting to see that these numbers are skyrocketing at other places in the country, and we're doing our best to see if this is a trend that they're being used properly, or if there is any means for the abuse of these drugs happening. So to answer your question, it's been quite steady, and we haven't seen a dramatic increase.
Are there any, are there any further questions? Yeah, go ahead, Nathan.
I was just curious about the 59% in psychology claims. What kind of time span is that between the increase?
Sure, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So they are one-year terms, so from September the 1st to August 31st each year. So the year before, I believe it was 100 and... I have to get you the correct number, but it was over 100% the year before, and then 58% this last year. So a huge, huge increase. And a part of the reason for that, though, is because the coverage has increased significantly. They used to cover only, I believe, $20 per visit, up to a maximum of $400, and now we're covering 80% up to a higher maximum. So it's pretty good to see.
Vice President Patches.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the presentation, Colton. I appreciate you coming out and providing some insight on the plan. Can you speak to the First English Speaking School that adopted the legal coverage and how it's gone so far?
Sure, thanks for the question. So the answer is that there is no data because they actually haven't implemented it. They just approved it through referendum. And I believe it will be either coming in January, if all things go correctly, or in September of the following year. So. I'll make sure that I let you guys know about how that goes. It's CSU, so it's Conestoga College in Ontario.
Vice President Scott.
Yeah, thank you for the presentation. Much appreciated. Thanks for coming down. My question is kind of specific, but kind of also general. I was wondering, does Student Care do any advocacy around like when drugs or certain prescriptions aren't covered by a health plan? So I'm thinking in the context of HIV preventative drugs, primarily PrEP or Truvada, largely isn't covered by insurers. Is that something that the student has the ability to do? Like to lobby, I guess, to advocate?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So with the health and dental plan, we really have the ability to cover anything that that the University of Alberta Students Union asks for. So. There are certain things that we need to take into consideration, like the cost of specific drugs, if those drugs are covered under the formulary that we like to match things with, and trends with other schools across the country. But as far as drugs that are covered, most drugs covered under a provincial formulary, or the TELUS there's like a telehealth federal formulary that we try and be close with. But if there's anything that's not covered under that, you do have a drug exception process. So there is the ability for students to apply to get certain drugs extended to them that aren't covered under the formulary. And then there are some drugs called biologics that are a big thing coming up, and they're really expensive. So say, for example, there's a drug for students with cystic fibrosis. It costs about $200,000 a year, and it's actually become quite an issue in BC. But we definitely can advocate to manufacturers, etc., to make sure that students have the drug coverage that they need. So if there is something like the HIV preventative drugs that you're talking about, we can definitely look into that.
Another question from Councillor Choi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the presentation. You had mentioned that, I think it was lastly, that the student plan had begun drawing from its reserves, right? So I was just wondering, like, what's the long-term outlook for continuously drawing from the reserves? Like, how long do these reserves last if we keep on, like, this particular path?
Sure, thank you for the question. I might need to defer to the Vice President of Operations and Finance for one piece of the answer to this question, but it's looked at being a short-term resolution. We always want to make sure that we're doing proper projections each year to see how much we need to increase the health and dental plan fee by, and looking into ways that we can change the plan in the future, say, for example, the change to the dental annual maximum. We can also look into increasing benefits if that's something that students want. The reason I wanted to defer was just to see, I can't remember exactly the percentage of the health and dental plan reserve that we were using this year. I'm not sure if you can really drop in.
Sure, thank you for the question. Colton covered the majority of the details in regards to that. We only used about 10% of the reserve in the last one, which is a pretty adequate, which is a pretty sustainable amount for what you need to pull into reserve. And specifically, this reserve has been building for how long have we had the plan? Seven or 8 years it's been building. So it's quite substantial, and it's there to support in times in which we see a big uptake. And there was multiple reasons last year as to why. There was an increase in usage of the plan. So when usage of the plan increases, so does the price, because there's going to be more claims. And that's why decisions were made last year into modifying the type of coverage that is offered to ensure that the price is still sustainable and affordable for students, while making sure that the plan is sustainable in regards to reserves. So to answer your question directly, I think it is sustainable, and it's not going to be pulling into the reserves in a massive amount.
Any other questions for Mr. Yamagishi? Sure, sorry, I'm just going to check the live stream here to see if we have any questions there. Go ahead.
You are collecting an enormous amount of data as to reactions of students to present programs at universities. And you're noticing some correlation with health. Are you also collecting data as to what is actually working versus why certain places have more problems than others? Because that information is very valuable for the university to change some of its ways, it seems to me. Do you have that data, or are you starting collecting that data?
Sure, I can answer that question. So whether the plan is working or not is kind of a relative question, but we do a comprehensive review of the plan each year at two times. So we do the review that we just did, the annual claims report, where we look at the claims from the previous year. And then we also do a review in about February or March, where we'll look at the kind of the progression of claims throughout the current year to see how we can project for the year coming forward, and to make sure that we're making the right benefit adjustments, that we're speaking to students throughout the surveys that we talked about, and to make sure that all of the benefits being provided by the plan are adding value for the students who are using it. So say, for example, if we had coverage for something that was maybe a bit absurd and was costing the plan a ton of money, but was only helping maybe one student for a non-emergent case, then that is something that we want to address through these different studies that we do. So as far as we are concerned right now, the plan is fairly reflective of what students are looking for and for beneficial services that they need for both health and dental. But if there is ever anything that comes up that seems to be a bit lacking from that line of best fit, then we can certainly adjust the plan and be nimble that way. So that's one of the nice things about working with the plan with the Students' Union. And I'll say this on the record rather than the university, is that Students' Unions tend to be a bit more nimble and flexible in creating changes quickly and viably for students. So that's one thing that we're really proud of.
I think that's all the time we have for the presentation. So I want to thank Colton for coming out today. And if you have any further questions, you can direct them through the Vice President of Operations and Finance or the Vice President of Student Life to the Health and Dental Plan Committee, or they can directly ask Colton those questions. So thank you again, Colton, for coming out to the presentation.
Perfect. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
So with that, before I jump into executive committee reports, a couple of other items that were brought to my attention during the presentation. So just wanted to highlight information item 9M. So that was something put together by Councillor Jones on the use of the council room. One note on that is, just because this happened today, make sure that if you're bringing a guest, like a non-council member, into that room, that you stay there with that person. If you leave, they should also be leaving, so there shouldn't be like random strangers in the council room who aren't councillors. On top of that, for item 7A, both of those in the title as well as in the motion should read second reading, not first reading, because that's first reading was passed previously, so today we're considering the second reading of that bill. So with that, I'm going to jump into executive committee reports. Do any members of the executive wish to make a report? Vice President Scott.
Thank you. So just a couple general things beyond my written report. Right before this meeting, I was at the Engineering Student Society's FAMP Town Hall. So they're going to be coming forward to council with their FAMP renewal proposal later in November. So if you're not aware of that, feel free to ask any questions about it, but it will be coming before council. And they're planning on presenting in mid-November. Another big thing, the university is participating this year in United Way campaign, like they do every year. And myself was supposed to be part of a plasma car race on October 27th at noon. However, we're going to Augustana for office hours that morning, so I'm not going to be able to participate. So if anyone here is interested in racing some plasma cars for some charity event, please let me know. You can also create a team, come up with fun names, make costumes, there's awards for best costume, most money raised. And I think there's just some good old spirit awards as well as a 50-50. So if that is of interest to anyone, please do let me know.
Thank you very much, Vice President Scott. We'll go next to President Bannister.
Everything I would like to discuss is mainly covered in my report. We did welcome a new city council yesterday, and the same mayor, but so that's very exciting. And no bias. And so thank you to everyone who voted and helped promote our advanced polling stations. VP Larson made it more into it, but we did have the most successful advanced polling stations out of any post-secondary campus in Edmonton, which was great. More than twice as McEwen. Not that matters. not a lot else to report. I've had a couple of interesting meetings lately, which have been outlined in my report, and you're welcome to ask me questions about that. But one other thing of relevance is that I've been doing lots of media and conference talks lately, so promoting the Students' Union to the public, which is a part of my responsibility as president, and I will be leaving this meeting at 7:30 p.m. if it's not already adjourned, because I will be doing post-municipal election commentary on CBC. Thank you. Happy answering questions.
Thank you very much, President Bannister. We'll go next to Vice President Patches.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to highlight something in my written report. So as part of my campaign promises and as part of the correct due process for a major project at the Students' Union, I'll be going through deconsultation interviews for the Myra Horowitz Theater renovation project, as well as deferred maintenance on campus, two things I ran on. I outlined the stakeholders in which I'm already planning to meet with in my written report, but if you, or if yourself, or if you know anybody or any other stakeholders that you would like me to sit down with, please let me know. I'd be happy to include them, and they'll be, their thoughts and concerns will be incorporated into the final reports. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. We'll go next to Vice President Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and as Irina mentioned, the polling stations went very, very well. The people running them said that it was a fantastic event and everything went smoothly. I was very happy. On top of that, I do need to give a lot of credit to our marketing team and to the Department of Public Research and Affairs, who put together most of all of the really hard work. Our marketing team did a fantastic job for this event. And they also, the new position there, social media, Jamie, did a fantastic job as well. So I think our new social media presence really did help with all of that. Next up, Miss Elections have come over. Is that... Oh, I won't look into that later, but Miss Elections have come around. We are going to be doing reach out for advocacy with the municipal offices right away, including congratulation cards, sending them our advocacy documents in terms of meetings. So if anybody wants to know what we're talking about with municipal folks, let me know. I'm going to be gone all of early next week. I'm traveling from here to Lethbridge to Calgary and then back again Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So if you want to meet with me, it'll have to be late next week. I'm going to present on behalf of CAUSE to Lethbridge, Mount Royal, and then just coming back. It's a long drive. And then ADVO days, our provincial advocacy days are coming up right away. As the CAUSE chair, I'll be participating a lot in the organization of those. During that time, we'll have a counterparts conference from people from all over the province. All of the executives will be coming to Edmonton. So if anybody's interested in meeting some of those folks or having discussions or being around, let me know if you have any interest in that. On top of that, Marina Bastard and UASU managed to put together a successful proposal to have the CAUSE 30 celebration in sub. And it's going to be a fantastic event. We're very excited. We've tons of fantastic photos. It'll be a really good time for us to highlight University of Alberta's Students' Union's ability to host these really sort of high-class events, which is what we hope this to be. Last up, me and Marina will be heading to Ottawa in late November, early December, which should be a lot of fun for CASA. So
thank you very much, Vice President Larson. I'm sorry, your time's up. Just a quick note from Vice President Ushakov, who is sick, so he's attending through the live stream. He's provided just a quick oral update. Hello, Council. Check out my written report, as it has the most information, but a couple of things to highlight for you guys. Join Campus Cup. It's a great weekend experience. We have the Player Lounge again this year, and it's going to be a rad time. Check out Open Mic Night November 9th. It's quite an exciting night at Dewey's. Keep an eye out for the last day of classes event in December. Lots of neat things happening and stuff. Thank you. So that was Vice President Ushakov's oral report. I'm not sure what this is about. President Bannister.
Can I ask something? Because I didn't use up my full time the first round.
Sure.
So I just wanted to add that we did launch our second season of Voice of the Union today. So that's the first episode of our Students Union podcast for the 2017-2018 year. We talk about, myself and Vice President Scott talk about USRIs, and VP Ushakov also talks about events, and we talk about Stride. So very exciting episode. And we did record it in our new video creation space in the Students Union building, which is nearly completed. I believe we're the first users, but we are getting ready to start advertising that service to students so people can use it to film and record their own things.
Perfect. Thank you very much, President Bannister. We'll move on to board and committee reports. We'll start with the audit committee.
All right, thank you. So the last audit meeting was a pretty exciting one because we got the presentation from the from KPMG, our external auditors. Everything's looking pretty good. I'll go into a bit more detail on that later when I introduce the motion to for us all to approve the audit. And also, we're trucking along with getting all of the faculty and resident associations audits done. Our next meeting will probably be a nice full agenda of approving a bunch of those audits because there's five or six, I think, that are just about to be done as soon as the FAs and RAs get the receipts to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Brophy. We'll go next to Councillor Christensen for an update on the bylaw committee.
Thank you. Bylaw committee met last week, and we're meeting again next week. We went through a number of items at our last meeting, including starting the DFU drafting process. A few questions from the CRO. We reviewed the two most recent die board rulings as per our mandate and went through the annual Students' Council seat allocation review. Going forward, we have a few more bylaws, one of which is on the agenda for today, that we hope to change before the end of the year. And we will be having some meetings to finish drafting those changes next week.
Oh, there's one more thing I wanted to say.
Sure.
One more thing I wanted to mention is now that the by-election period is over, we still have one vacant seat on Students' Council, and that is for the Faculty of Physical Education and Recreation. There is a mechanism to appoint a counselor from that faculty, so if you happen to know anyone who is interested from that faculty, they can be appointed through a process called vacancy petitions, and if you need more information about that, I am more than happy to provide it.
Thank you very much. Councillor Christensen, we'll go next to Councillor Sunday for an update on the Council Administration Committee.
So for more like in-depth understanding, I guess, what's been happening at the Council Administration Committee, you can see my chair's report on the late editions. However, just something to note is that at today's meeting of CAC, the October 31st, 2017 meeting of Students' Council has been cancelled. So our next meeting of Students' Council will occur on November 7th, 2017 at Augustana campus. Just another thing to note is that CAP today approved its budget, and one of the things was business cards for counselors. I'll send an email out today detailing more information about that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Brophy. We'll go next to Vice President Patches for an update on the Finance Committee.
That was Councillor Sunday speaking.
Councillor Sunday. Sorry. Go to Vice President Patches for an update on the Finance Committee.
Finance Committee did meet. First Thanksgiving. I wasn't pleased. But it's okay. We're going to meet on the 23rd.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. We'll go next to Vice President Scott for an update on the Nominating Committee.
Nominating Committee has not met yet, but we'll be meeting soon, so those members of the Nominating Committee, please keep an eye out on your email for some meeting requests, because we do have a couple vacancies to fill on GFC, so that process will be underway soon.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Councillor Howie for an update on the Policy Committee.
This is a sad string of committees. Policy Committee also didn't meet because just with scheduling issues, we were not able to maintain quorum, but that's okay. So we will be meeting soon. Keep an eye on your emails, members of Policy Committee, because we're going to be making a makeup meeting. So, yeah, that sucks, but yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Patrick Sundari for an update on the Board of Governors.
Perfect. So the Board of Governors is meeting on Friday. We'll be meeting at 8 a.m. in SAB 2-31 if anybody is interested in coming out. We've also got a membership development and orientation seminar happening on Thursday. Yeah. So I'll be sure to let everybody know what happens at the Board of Governors meeting at our next meeting. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Governor Sundari. Any other members of any boards or committees who wish to make a report? Councillor Sunday, go ahead.
So the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Ad Hoc Committee last met on Thursday. During our meeting, Elsie and her husband, Francis, both elders who work at the Aboriginal Student Services Center, provided us with traditional knowledge around smudging. As well, we had approved our final draft of standing orders, and our list of recommendations, of which there are over 50, will now begin consulting with different groups, and hopefully we should have a motion brought forward to council within the next month. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Sunday. Are there any other reports from any boards or committees? Seeing none, we'll close board and committee reports there, and we'll open open forum. Are there any questions for open forum? So for those new members of council and guests of council who have not attended before, open forum is an opportunity for guests or members who are students at large to ask questions of members of council directly. So you can ask questions of the executive, you can ask members like your own faculty representatives or other faculties, any questions that you have. So it's a 15-minute period for that with the same rules as question period. Are there any questions for open forum? Yeah, go ahead.
In regards to the creation space, what's the current update to that? Like, what time do you think it will open, and where will it be? Yeah.
So I'll direct that to Vice President Patches.
It should be open to the student usage within 2 weeks. That's the deadline we set for ourselves to create a usage policy around it. We just want to make sure that it's fair and equitable for all groups of students and students to use it. And it's located in the lower level, student group offices west, in a free area we have there.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. Any further questions for Open Forum? Seeing none, we'll close Open Forum there, and we'll open it up to question period. So we did have a written question that would have been added to the late editions, which was from the new engineering counselor, Counselor Billick, to Vice President Ushakov regarding the new student group policy. Vice President Ushakov provided a written response to Counselor Billick, and I believe he'll follow up when he has more information. So I'm not sure if Counselor Billick, if you have like a follow-up question. Wonderful. All right. With that, that deals with all the written questions. Are there any oral questions for question period? Yes, Counselor Christensen.
Thank you. I just have a question for Counselor Sunday. I was wondering if you could update Student Council again on when and how one can get their Students Council jacket.
Counselor Sunday.
Thank you for the question. Those who ordered the Student Council jackets can pick theirs up at Discover Governance as well as receive their $20 refund. As for going to Discover Governance, I'd contact them and see what time they are in their office and then work with them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Sunday. We'll go next to Councillor Wilson.
My question here is for Vice President Scott. It's about the GovWeek report. Is there any update on when that will be released?
Vice President Scott.
Thank you for the question. I've started working on the GovWeek report, so we're just finishing up the evaluations with the research department, and so I'm looking to release it next week.
Thank you very much, Vice President Scott. Any further questions for question period? Seeing none, we'll close question period there, and we'll move on to board and committee business, starting with item 7-8. So this is bill number 4, removing student group operating policy requirements in second reading. So Vice President Patches, seconded by Councillor Christensen. I'll pull the motion up on the screens for you. So Vice President Patches, seconded by Councillor Christensen, moved to approve the second reading of bill number 4, removing student group operating policy requirements on the recommendation of bylaw committee based on the following first principles. The principles are listed on the screen in front of you. Vice President Patches, if you want to introduce your motion. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll briefly introduce my motion. I believe that the second reading of the second reading reflects the first principles. First principle number 4, bylaw 5600 shall be amended to remove operating policy requirements. If you see the attachment, bylaw 5600.4 is amended to remove just that. Point 1, 2, and 3 are deleted, and those are the ones that correspond towards student group policy and procedures having to be included in operating policy, and the title is also amended. So I'd be happy to accept any questions.
Thank you very much, Vice President Patches. Are there any questions or is there any debate on item 7A? Seeing none, we'll use our voting system. So for those people that have not used this before or proxies, we'll start the votes. There'll be some blinking buttons in front of you. A vote on the plus symbol is a vote for, a vote on the minus is a vote against, and a 0 is an abstention. So the voting system should now be live. Please vote. The voting system will close in 3, 2, 1. So I'm just counting. So that motion carries with 31 in favor, 0 opposed, and 0 abstentions. That motion carries unanimously. Moving right along here, we'll go on to item 7B. Councillor Christensen, seconded by Councillor Piasecki. It's a very small rating. Move on the recommendation of the Dye Board Committee to appoint, I sincerely apologize if I butcher any of these names, Gil Mitchak and Brittany Boyko to the position of Dye Board Tribune. Councillor Christensen, did you want to introduce the motion? He's not. Is there any debate on item 7B? Yes, President Bannister.
This is just a question, not a comment, but how many people applied for the position and how many people got it?
So move on to a question from debate from Councillor Piasecki.
I can answer the question because I was going on there. For just like the Dye Board Tribune positions, there were three, and the goal was to select all of them, barring like any unforeseen complications, and we ended up selecting two.
Is there any further debate on item 7B? Seeing none, once again, go to a vote. So the voting system is now live. Please vote. Sorry about that. Voting system will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with some quick math here. 29 in favor, 0 opposed, and 2 abstentions. Would the abstentions like to be noted? Wonderful. So that motion carries. Move right along here to item 7C, Christensen, seconded by Piasecki, move on the recommendation of the Dye Board Committee to appoint Landon Haynes to the position of Dye Board Associate Chief Tribune. Councillor Christensen, do you want to introduce your motion? Does not, so we'll open it up straight to debate. Is there any debate on item 7C? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote. Voting system should now be live. Please vote. The voting system will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with 29 in favor and 2 abstentions. Would the abstentions like to be noted? Wonderful. So again, that motion carries. We'll move right along here to item 70, Christensen, seconded by Piasecki, move on the recommendation of the Dye Board Committee to appoint Kermvir Lal to the position of Dye Board Associate Chief Tribune on the graduation / resignation of current ACT Harvir Mann. Councillor Christensen, did you want to introduce your motion? Does not. We'll go right into debate. Is there any debate on item 7D? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote. Voting system, again, should now be live. Please vote. The voting system will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with 28 in favor, 0 opposed, and 2 abstentions. Would the abstentions like to be noted? Wonderful.
Point of parliamentary inquiry?
Yes.
Point of personal privilege?
Yes.
Can you please review what it means and the implications of abstaining and the proper and improper use of abstentions?
Absolutely, I can. Thank you very much for bringing that up, President Bannister. So, before I announce the results of the vote, just in case people would like to change their mind or change their vote, because that is possible until the vote is announced, you should be abstaining for a few reasons. I think there are four that we consider here in Students' Council, those being blood, money, sex, and grades. So in terms of blood, if the whatever you're voting on, if there's a person you're nominating to a particular position is related to you by blood, then you should be abstaining. If, in terms of money, if they're in a position where they are paying you or you are paying them or something like that, if there's any exchange of funds, you should be abstaining. We'll skip over sex because I think that's fairly obvious. If you're in a relationship with them, please abstain. And if it will affect your grades in terms of how you vote, please also abstain. Those are the four instances in which you should be abstaining.
So, point of personal privilege.
Yes.
If you are abstaining for a reason that is not those, would that be considered an improper use of an abstention? And or is it better to just not vote if you don't care?
So, I would say it's an improper use of an abstention. That being said, I don't want to be in the position to be judging somebody's vote because I'm trying to vote on the merits of their vote, or I'm not trying to judge, their intent, basically. I would strongly suggest, instead of voting because you don't have enough information or for whatever other reason, be informed. These agendas come out the Friday before. You have all weekend to read the information. It should be posted on the website. You get a copy of it via email. If you don't get a copy of it via email, please let me know and we'll add you to the list. But you should only be abstaining for those four reasons and not because you don't have enough information to vote. If you don't have enough information to vote when the debate starts, ask questions. Debate the item. That's what the time is allotted for. So if you need more information before you decide on a particular stance for or against, please make sure to make those points. You may not be the only person in the room with reservations or points in support of a particular person or in favor of a particular objective, let's put it that way, in the form of other motions. So I highly recommend that you abstain for only those four reasons, and if you don't have enough information, ask questions. That's why we're all here, to get information and make informed decisions, just like you did when you all voted yesterday in the municipal election. All right, great. Soapbox speech done. So with that in mind, does anyone want to vote?
Thank you.
With that, so... Okay, so... this motion carries with... I believe it's 29 in favor, 0 opposed, and 2 abstentions. Again, would the abstentions like to be noted? Wonderful.
I have a point of parliamentary inquiry.
Yes, Councilor Hall.
So can non-council members vote in a vote like we have?
Can
any members of the public vote?
No.
No.
Only members of council should be voting.
Yeah.
These votes.
So what was to happen if somebody did vote that were not part of council? We did for the past three.
So I do my best to make a note of that in terms of when somebody who's not on council is voting. That being said, if they're proxying, like whatever like that, I do try to make a note of that. So I do my best. Sometimes I don't catch everything. But I do know in the last couple of cases that somebody voted that shouldn't have voted, so that counted when I counted all the rest of the votes up. So it's been counted. All right. Wonderful. Great questions. I love all these questions. This is wonderful. questions. Awesome. All right. So with that, motion 70 carries. And with that, I believe we have come to the end of our agenda. So before I take attendance very quickly, I know that, again, the meeting on the 31st is canceled. I think there are a number of different things going on.
Mr. Speaker, would you like to special order item on late additions?
Yes, go ahead.
I move to a special order item, whatever the number is.
7A.
I'd like to move to special order item 7A on the late additions, the audit of the Students Union audit, for timely reasons. We need to have the audit evaluated and approved by Students Council for our finances to meet proper deadlines. So it's on a matter of timeliness.
Is there a seconder? I think Councilor Brophy.
I'll second that.
Has blacked it up. So, oh man, let me just do a couple of quick checks here. It's been a long time since we special ordered something. So I believe a special ordered item is debatable. I don't believe it's amendable. I think it requires a two-thirds majority, but let me just double-check that. Yes, Councilor.
Parliamentary inquiry.
Yes.
Wasn't the audit, the audit committee's presentation part of the late additions?
So not that I can see, only because I have a copy of the full agenda that was provided by the council administrative assistant, and it's not on here.
On the late additions, it says Brophy found that move.
Okay.
And the recommendation of the audit committee, yada yada yada.
Again, like I said, I'm just going off the paper copy that I got, which was printed off like 10 minutes before council started. So, and items aren't automatically moved onto the agenda. So, just so that people are clear on this, even if this was on the late editions, it may not be automatically special ordered to the agenda. I'll pull up standing order so that council has a chance to read this, especially because it's important, again, to make an informed decision when you are voting, but I believe the...
I have a question.
Yes, Councilor Christensen.
What is the point of the late additions?
The point of the late additions, in my opinion, I don't want to speak to the people who originally made this, but to me the point of the late additions is to inform council that something is coming at the next meeting and just make them aware that something is coming. If something is, so under section 5, you can see, the order of business notwithstanding, Students' Council may designate any order of the day, a special order if it cannot be postponed to a future meeting of Students' Council, for resolution without risking serious and detrimental consequences to the Students' Union. So if it's a last-minute thing that is risky, like without passing this would risk serious and detrimental consequences to the SU, then it should be added to the main agenda. So hopefully that answers everybody's questions. So again, I believe a special order, an item to special order, I'm going to double check this because I didn't get a chance to double check earlier, does require a seconder, which we did have. It is debatable, as far as I understand. So it is debatable, it's not amendable, and requires just a simple majority vote. There we go. All right, so with that, Vice President Patch has made the motion to special order item 7A, which I will now pull up for everyone, if I can find it. Councilor Brophy, can you send me the wording for this motion that you'd like special order?
Just to your email?
Yeah, just to speaker@su.gilbert.ca or to council submissions, whichever is quicker.
Okay. I'll just find the late editions, because the wording is on the late edition sheet itself. So we'll just put that.
Okay. Never mind. So
you did find it?
Yeah, I did find
it.
So multiple copies of the final agenda which were sent out, which I not don't fully understand, so I'll talk to you, the administration, about that. But so the motion, just to clarify everything and make sure hopefully things are crystal clear, is to special order item 7A that's in front of you on the screens, onto the order papers to be able to be considered at this meeting of council. So I'll allow Vice President Patches to introduce his motion. He so chooses. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So as I said earlier, the audit is time sensitive, and as outlined in what the Speaker said, a as special ordering is appropriate for items that could cause detrimental damage to the Students' Union. And if we do not meet our deadlines of the audit that are required by the provinces, that are required by various levels of government, we will have there will be consequences for the Students' Union. So I believe this is the perfect example for something on the late edition that should be special ordered due to other reasons over.
Thank you very much. Is there any debate on the motion to special order this item? Councillor Sunday.
I'd just like to say for myself, I don't agree with special ordering this item. The audit report itself is fairly lengthy and full of a lot of information, and since the late editions was sent out 3 hours ago, at least for myself, it doesn't give me adequate time to read over the entire report and make an informed decision. And while I understand that it might be time sensitive, I would rather wait than make an uninformed decision just because of for the sake of time. So that'd be my reasoning for that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Sunday. We'll go next to Councillor Flyman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ordinarily, I would agree with Councillor Sunday. I am usually fervently opposed to special ordering anything, as we do have deadlines and we need to get things in on time. But being that we canceled our next meeting and our next meeting won't be for 4 weeks from today, I'm going to make an exception and vote in favor of this motion.
Thank you very much, Councillor Flyman. Is there any further debate on the motion to special order? Let's go to Vice President Patches.
Thank you for the comments and concerns. I'd like to remind Council of what we just talked about having a debate as a method in which to inform yourself on the motion. I am here and happy to answer any questions on the audit findings. I trust that the Chair of Audit Committee, Councillor Brophy, will go through the findings thoroughly and in a detailed manner, as there were no findings that were of any concern to the Students' Union, and the minor ones have been addressed by our management, in which case Councillor Brophy will be going through, and I'm happy to answer from a management perspective.
Thank you very much. We'll go next to Councillor Christensen.
Thank you. I was just wondering if someone could inform us as to when the firm deadline for this must be passed by, since it's time sensitive.
Is there any further debates on the motion to special order? So I believe, just to inform members of council of something that I heard in chambers, it has to be approved by the end of October, which is within 6 months, I believe, of the audit's completion. Just for all those members who are on the live stream. Is there any further debate on the motion to special order? Seeing none, we will go to a vote. So again, you are moving, this motion is to put item 7A as listed in the late editions onto the order papers to be debated and amended or whatever you'd like to do with that motion. If you pass this motion, it moves that onto the order papers. If you if the motion does not carry, then it will be added to the agenda for the next meeting of council, which is on November 7th. So, this motion to special order, item 7A, the voting system is now live. Please vote. So people on the live stream, don't forget to vote. So the voting system will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with 25 in favor, 4 opposed, and 0 abstentions. So item 7A will be special ordered onto the main agenda and will be item 7E. So Councillor Brophy, seconded by Councillor Palandash, move on the recommendation of the Audit Committee to approve the findings of the external auditors. Councillor Brophy, did you want to introduce your motion?
Yes, I do. All right. So, yeah, so we had so this report was presented to us the last meeting of audit. And so basically, for anybody who doesn't know, the way that the audit, the external audit process works is that the external auditors come in and look at various things like our like a cash inventory and the checks and balances that we have to ensure that there is that fraud and or theft prevented at an institutional level, as well as ensuring that your accounting procedures are being done properly and are and everything's being sort of taken care of and checked out. And during this this process was delayed this year because of as part of the as part of that giant server failure that caused so many problems over the summer. And so part of their findings was some recommendations on how that type of issue could be presented, could be prevented in the future with regards to better backup systems. And they recommended things that were already that the SU has already been putting forward to prevent another disaster of that type from occurring. Things such as, you know, looking into cloud backups and different on-site backups and things of that nature. And the only other sort of issue that they saw was that there were a couple of small accounting errors where, trying to remember the exact details of it, but there was in investment income, there was a number that was accidentally counted twice at some point, and they fixed that error. Other than that, all the things such as cash safety and fraud risk from management overrides were found to be completely, they have no problems there at all. So yeah, we're very comfortable approving these audit findings so that everything else can sort of move along as it is supposed to. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Brophy. Is there any debate on the motion to approve the findings of the external auditors? Any debate? Seeing none, we'll go to our voting system. So again, Brophy, seconded by Palandat, move on the recommendation of the audit committee to approve the findings of the external auditors. Voting system should now be live. Please vote. The voting system will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with 27 in favor, 0 opposed, and 1 abstention. Would the abstention like to be noted? All right, so that motion carries. With that, I believe now we have considered everything that was on the main agenda or the late additions. Just a couple of what I was trying to get into earlier. So again, the meeting on the 31st has been canceled. But I understand that Sub and the SU have a few events going on that night. I think there's some stuff with the Kemp's Food Bank and some other organizations, so feel free to get in touch with any members of the executive to find out more information. Other than that, again, more information will be sent out about the November 7th meeting at Augustana. For those members who are guests of council and you're not actually members of council, feel free to hop on whatever form of transportation is available and come to Augustana. It's a beautiful campus, and I'm sure the Augustana Student Association and other members of Augustana would not mind seeing some faces from North Campus just to say hello. Like I said, it's a great campus full of great people, so I highly recommend seeing it at least once. With that, we'll take attendance very quickly, and then I'll let you all on your way. President Bannister.
Present.
Vice President Scott.
Here.
Vice President Larson.
Present.
Vice President Patches.
Here.
Vice President Ushakov is still here on the live stream. Governor Sundari.
Here.
Councillor Lefferson. Councillor Chu.
Here.
Councillor Gitta. Councillor Hassan, I believe, is still on the live stream. All right. Councillor Piasecki.
Here.
Councillor Wilson.
Here.
Councillor Lilo is still here. Councillor Liu. Councillor Swain, Councilor Palandez.
Here.
Councilor Howell.
Here.
Councilor Ferris.
Here.
Councilor Thibodeau.
Here.
Councilor Kanawi is here on the live stream. Councilor Sorensen. I believe he is. Councilor Hamid. Councilor Brophy.
Here.
Councilor Christensen.
Here.
Councilor Sunday.
Here.
Councilor Brittaroli.
Here.
Councilor Flyman.
Here.
Councilor Kwan.
Here.
Councilor Howie.
Yep.
Councilor DePinto.
Here.
Councilor Mahal.
Here.
Councilor Kim.
Here.
Councilor Jones.
Here.
Proxy for Councilor Wong. Councilor Wong. Left, Councilor Choi.
Yeah.
9 year, the general manager is not. It's meeting adjourned at 7:20 p.m.
I'm sorry.